Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today we're going to be learning Ksuvos Daf Tes. We left off on Daf Ches Amid Beis, the last few words of the page, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously, Liz Chusser for Shlema for Esther Basara. It's also sponsored by Ken and Marcy Kapel in commemoration of the first yard site of Ken's father, Israel Kapel, which is this Sunday, Yud Ches Tammuz. Israel was a survivor, and until his Petira was the only surviving grandchild of the first Majitzer Rebbe. Wow, Rabbi Israel Taub, the Divrei Yisrael, for whom he was named, Yisrael ben Yaakov Emanuel, his Neshama, Shav, and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the Ne'amonos of a husband to say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. Now, when we talk about Ne'amonos of a husband, we mean two different things. First of all, does his wife become Asura to him? Because, after all, he said Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, and that might indicate that she was Nivelas Tachtav, that she had Bia, while she was already Be'erusin with him. And then the second issue that has to be dealt with is, does she lose her Ksuba on account of that? So we're going to have a Machlokas that the entire Daf revolves around. That first we have the sheet of Reb Elazar that kicks off the Daf, that he's believed to make her Asura to him, but he's not believed to have seen the Ksubasa. And then on Amid Beis we're going to introduce the sheet of Shmuel, that he's even Ne'eman to have seen the Ksubasa. Along the way, the Gemara is going to discuss the concept of Shavya Anafshei Chaticha Di Isura, which is a very important concept in Shas. It's also going to discuss the details of the story with David and Bathsheba, and why exactly Bathsheba was muteris to David. Normally the halacha is that if a woman is with another man while she's still married to her husband, she not only becomes asura to her husband, but she becomes asura to the boel as well. So why is it that Bathsheba was allowed to marry David if, after all, Uriah was still in the picture the very first time they were together? So that's going to be covered in today's daf as well, a couple of approaches to that question. So let's begin. Last three words on the page, on Daf Chesem Beis, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Ha'omer Pesach Pesach Matzasi. A guy gets married and he says that that he marries a woman b'cheskas, that she's a basula, and then after the first time they have bia, he says that he found that she was Pesach Pesach, and therefore she must not be a basula. The assumption is, but what goes unsaid in the Gemara, is that she said, she denies it. She says, it's not true. I never had bia with anybody. I was never mezana with anyone. Nevertheless, ne'eman li'osra alav. He is believed enough to make her asura to him, where he now has to divorce her. Because if it was Pesach Pesach, we have to be choshesh, that maybe she had znus after she had erusin with him, and therefore she becomes asura to him. So even though there are no edim that she was mezana, and there's no way to clarify and to investigate through edim, but nevertheless, a person is neman to be made and to asur himself something that otherwise would have been mutter to him, me'ikar adin. So really, me'ikar adin, his wife would have been muteres to him, but because he's claiming that she was mezana tachtav, so this is an example of shavya nafshei chaticha di yisura. If you say that it's asur for you, then it is asur for you. That's the principle of shavya nafshei chaticha di yisura. There is a major discussion in the Achronim of what the mechanism of Shavya Anafshe is. Just because I say that something is asur to me, it becomes asur to me. If I call a cow a pig, all of a sudden it becomes chazer, and I'm not allowed to eat it just because my cow tells me he identifies as a pig, or I identify it as a pig, so all of a sudden it's going to become asur to me. So there's not going to be that. There's no such thing. So that's what the Ketzos HaChoshen writes in Siman Lamed Daled, that it works midin ne'emanus, that over here we have the person is given ne'emanus klape his own dinim. So he's not believed to make something asur to somebody else, but he is believed to make something asur for himself. However, the Mari Basan is quoted by all the Achronim as saying that no, it's not midin ne'emanus, it's midin neder, meaning we raise the question, is it possible that something is totally mutter to a person and he just declares it's asur to him and then it becomes asur to him? And the answer is yes, we have that all the time. That's the very concept of neder. You could take something that's totally mutter to you. You could take, I could take any item that I have, the computer that's in front of me, the lamp that's shining on my Gemara right now, and say, I'm taking a neder that I'm not allowed to get on from it, and it becomes an issur d'oraisa. So of course you could do that. So that's exactly what Shavya Nafshei is, that it works midin din neder. Of course, if it works midin neder, then it should be subject to hatara, hafara. It should be subject to the dinim of nedarim. And that's one of the challenges with suggesting that shavya nafshei works midin neder. There is a third approach, and that is in the Trumas HaKri. The Trumas HaKri is printed in the back of the standard editions of the Ksos HaChoshen. And the Trumas HaKri says what I always thought was the most logical approach, that if I believe that something is asur to me, you don't have to believe that it's asur to me. So it's not ne'emanus that I'm believed about it, nor is it a neder necessarily. But if I believe that something is asur to me, then I'm not allowed to have it, just because by virtue of the fact that I think that this is chazir. You could be swearing up and down and have 100 edim that tell me that it's not chazir, but if I believe that it's chazir, then I'm not allowed to eat it. So that's how it works, shavya nafshei chatir di sura, that I believe that she is a sura to me. Now, that's one major issue in these first few lines. Another issue that comes up is that the Tosos in Dibra Maschil HaOmer quotes a machlokas rishonim, whether a bogeres who's a basula is pischa pasuach, meaning if a girl is already a little bit older, she's not so young, do we know that she should still have some dam, but do we assume that it's pischa sasum, or do we assume that she's pesach pasuach at that by that age already? So according to those who hold that a bogeres basula does not have pischa no'ul, she's already pischa pasuach even without pia, you have to say that our entire sugya is only about a nara, because the assumption of our sugya is that the expectation was that she was not pesach pasuach, and by virtue of the fact that he's claiming pesach pasuach, he's claiming that she was mezana. But a bogeres would never become a suratim with such a claim, because she's supposed to be pesach pasuach, as opposed to those shittos who disagree and hold that a bogeres is also supposed to be pesach na'ul. So then our sugya could be talking about a bogeres as well. So that is a fundamental machlokas rishonim. There is a further discussion in the Rishonim over here in terms of what is the woman saying in all of this. So I mentioned it must be that the woman's denying it, right? That must be the assumption of the whole case. That is in fact the sheet of the Ramban, the Rashba, and many other Rishonim, that he's neman to make her asuratim dafka when the woman is denies it and says that she was pischasasum. But if she says nivalti avala anusa hiisi or mukasetzani, if she says you're right, it was pesach pasuach because I became a mukaseitz, or because I was ne'ensa, so then she's believed, even with only one suffix, because his tain is only a tainus shema. He doesn't know how she became pischa besuach. She's taining a tainus bari. She does know how she became pischa besuach. And therefore, bari b'shema, bari adif. That is how the Rov Rishonim understand. However, the Magid Mishnah understands within the Shitas HaRambam, and the Rosh quotes from the Rabbeinu Yonah, that even if she says, neva'alti v'ne'enasti, the husband is still believed to make her asur, we do not rely on her tainus bari, because that tainus bari is against a rov. An ones is lo shchiach. And also, when an ones happens, typically people find out about it. So it's ki'ilu, there's a major reyusa on her tainus. So she is not believed to say that ne'enasti. That's the shita of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, one more point to make over here is that even the feed Varav, even according to what the guy is saying, the pischa pasuach, does that necessarily mean that she's asura to him? No, it only makes it a safek, meaning even according to what he's saying, maybe she was mezana tachtav, or maybe she was mezana before she was tachtav, before the erusin, and maybe she was mezana ba'ones, you can't even call it mezana, maybe she was ne'ensa. So nevertheless, we have a klal that sveka d'oraisa, we go l'chumra, and she becomes asura. So the Ritva writes that you see two chidushim from Rav Lazar. Number one, that the guy is believed to say that pesach pasuach, even though he's been a single guy until now. How would he know what pesach pasuach is supposed to feel like? So number one is that he's believed about that, and number two is that even though it's only a suffix, she still becomes asuratim because shavya nafshei chatichat yisura, because he's trying to make her asuratim, and if he's trying to make her asuratim, she becomes asur. So far we only read one line of Gemara, so we got to move a little quicker than this, I guess. So the one line we read is that Rav Lazar says that if a husband comes and says pesach pasuach matzasi, the wife becomes asura to him, but not that she loses her ksuba, just that she becomes asura to him. She's ne'eman, he's ne'eman in that she becomes asura to him because of shavya nafshei chatichat yisura. So in fact, the Gemara va'amai, why would she become asura to him, even if you want to believe him that she was pesach pasuach? That shouldn't be enough to make her asura. Svek sveikahu, it's still a svek sveika. Even if he's right, safik tachtov, safik ein tachtov, it could be that she was pesach Mincha Pesuach, but that happened before they ever had Erusin, so that would not lasso her. Avimtim Salom Mar Tachtav, Safik Bonas, Safik Baratzon. And even if it happened while she was Tachtav, while she was Be'erusin with him, but it could have happened Ba'onas, in which case she would not have become Asura to him. So even if we believe him 100% that he's telling the truth, it's still a Svek Sveka that we should be Mekel. And by a Svek Sveka, we're always Mekel, even on a Dindal Raisa. Why are we Mekel on a Svek Sveka, even on a Dindal Raisa? So that is a famous machlokas between the Rashba and, I guess, for lack of a better, Rishon to attribute it to, the Pnei Yeshua. The Rashba writes, Svek Sveka is Mutter on a Daraisa because it's like a rove. It's like it works not as a rove in terms of a statistical rove, but a rove possibilities. That it's either A or B, and even if it's B, it could either be C or D. So of the four possibilities, the rove of those possibilities is Laheter, and therefore we can follow such a rove even on a Da'oraisa. However, the Pnei Yeshua suggests that if you were to assume, like those Rishonim that say, that the very din of Safek Da'oraisa L'Chumra is only a din D'Rabbanan, the very din that we go L'Chumra on a Safek Da'oraisa is only a din D'Rabbanan, says the Pnei Yeshua, then if you were to have a Svek Sveiko, what you in fact have is a Safek on a din D'Rabbanan, because you have a Safek on a Safek Da'oraisa L'Chumra. Safek Da'oraisa L'Chumra itself is only a din D'Rabbanan, so you have a Safek D'Rabbanan, therefore Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula, and that's why we could be Mekil on a Svek Sveika. So, frak the Gemara, isn't this a Svek Sveika? So, the Gemara has two answers. Number one is Lo Tzricha Be'ishes Kohen. Maybe the only time Reb Lazar said this halacha that she becomes Asura to him is if he is a Kohen. So, that takes away one of the Sveikos, because if he's a Kohen, the only thing that matters was whether it was Tachtov or not Tachtov. It's irrelevant whether she was Ne'ensa or not, because Ne'ishes Kohen, even if she's Ne'ensa, becomes Asura Lebaila. The Ibaisema, second possible answer, Be'ishes Yisrael, Kagon Dekabal Ba'avu Kiddushin. It could be that he's not a Kohen, that it's Neshes Yisrael, but the Erusin happened before she was 3 years old. So one thing we know for sure is that if it's Pesach Pesuach, it happened after the Erusin. So the only suffix we have was, is it Ba'ones or is it Baratzon? But it definitely happened after the Erusin, because a girl that Nebuchadnezzar before the age of 3, we assume the Besulim is going to come back. So since he found Pesach Pesuach, we know that this Maisa Bia happened after the Erusin already happened, and therefore there's only one suffix, whether it was Ba'ones or whether it was Baratzon. You have to say that certainly at the Shas Kiddushin, now that she was that she's a Gedolah, and that's why we have to be Choshesh, maybe she was Mizana Baratzon, Rashi points out. Meaning, if she's still a Katana right now, right at the time that he makes this claim, then she would certainly be Muteres, because the Halach is Peter Katana Oneshi. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, Rashi, she quotes that if a katana, there's something called statutory rape, that even if the girl is saying that she's willing, but if she's too young to actually give consent, then that's also considered ones. And therefore, it must be that even though the father was mekabel kiddushin for her before the age of 3, they waited 10 years before they went ahead with the nisuin. So now she's a gedola, and as a gedola, it's considered to be it would be considered to be Baratzon if she was Mizana. Tosus raised the question, then L'chor should still be a Svek Sveka, because maybe it was Baratzon, maybe it was Ba'ones, and even if it was Baratzon, maybe it was Bekatnusa, which has a halachic status of Ones, so it's a Svek Sveka still. So Tosus points out, that's not a Svek Sveka. Svek Sveka is when you have two different Svekos. Over here, it's just two different ways of saying Svek Ones, Svek Ratzon, meaning you're going to say, maybe it was rape, and maybe it was she was willing to do it. And even if she was willing to do it, maybe she wasn't old enough to make that decision, and therefore it was rape. Well, therefore it was rape, so that's the same suffix. So that's not two different sveikos. So this would be a single suffix d'oraisa, and by a suffix d'oraisa, we go l'chumra. Tosus points out, but wait, we're missing another suffix. Then maybe she was not mezana, and she's really a mukaseitz, and that's why she doesn't have any besulim. And therefore, even by Ignatius Cohen, and even if her father accepted kiddushin for her when she was still very young, it should still be a svek sveika. Meaning, suffix, let's say by the Ignatius Cohen, suffix whether it was tachtov or not tachtov, and even if it was Tachtav, maybe it was Mukaseitz. And by the Bas Yisrael, that the father was Mekabel Kiddushin, Pachas Mbashal Shav Yamechad, maybe it was Ones, maybe it was Ratzon, and even if it was Ratzon, maybe it was Mukaseitz. So Tosa suggests that if she was a Mukaseitz, she would have said something, because that's not such a Gnai, it's not so embarrassing to be a Mukaseitz, and the very fact that she's not claiming to be a mukaseitz is a strong indication that she's not a mukaseitz. So now, my kamashmalan, ask the Gemara, according to what we're saying, the din of Rabbi Elazar, that woman, that there's only one safek, the husband is believed to say that she's asura to him. So even though there are no edim that she was mezana, and we can't clarify it, but nevertheless, he's ne'eman, because shavi anaf sheichatich di asura. Says the Gemara, so my kamashmalan, what is Rabbi Elazar's big chiddush? Tanino, we already know this din of shavi anaf sheichatich di asura. After all, doesn't it say, ha'omer li'isha kidashtich? If a man says to a woman, I was mekadesh you in front of edim, and these edim have since gone to Medina Sayam, and therefore they're no longer available, they're no longer here. V'hi omeres lo kidashtani, and she says, I don't know what you're talking about. You were never mekadesh me. So he muteres bekrovav. She is going to be allowed to marry his relatives, because according to her, they were never married. But who asur bekrovaseha? But he's not going to be allowed to marry her relatives, because he's ne'eman to say that they had once been married, and insofar as it's shavyan af sheikhatich di isura. Then now he's accepted upon himself a new iser. So answer the Gemara, no, mal de tema, had it not been for Rabbi Elazar, I would have thought, hasam devade kimle, that by kiddushin, we believe him, he's believed to say that she's, that her relatives are asura to him, because he knows for sure whether in fact he was mekadesh or not. So he's saying a tainas bari that I was mekadesh you. Avalach mekam utulo kimle. But I would have thought in this case where the guy is coming, here's a single guy, he's been learning in yeshiva his whole life, and all of a sudden he comes and he says, Pesach Pesach Matzasi. So we'll say, Yingala, you have no idea what Pesach Pesach Matzasi means. You don't even know what it feels like. So I would think that he has no nemanus whatsoever on something like that. So Kamash Milan, that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Elazar, that we take him seriously, even though to make it Shavya Nafshe Chadich Di Yisura, even though there's a very high likelihood that he has no idea what he's talking about. So says Mar Umiyam Rabbi Elazar Achi, does Rabbi Elazar really hold that a woman becomes Asura to her husband just by virtue of his claim of Pesach Pesach Matzasi? V'amar Rabbi Elazar, didn't the very same Rabbi Elazar teach us elsewhere that a woman can never become asura to her husband without edim that say that she was mezana, unless you go through the normal sota process, the normal process of kinoi stira, and then she, you know, she, the husband says, I don't want you hanging out with this guy, and she goes and she has yichud with that guy. Meaning, isn't that the only way that a woman can become asura to her husband other than edim seeing her be mezana? Rabbi Elazar is the one that taught us this. Just like the story that happened with Bathsheba, and who was the wife of Uriah, that was apparently, the Gemara seems to be saying, that it happened with Kinui Estira, and that's why she became Asura. But short of that, a husband claiming Pesach Pasuach should not be enough to make her Asur. So wait, let's chazer over. What was the Maisa with Bathsheba and Uriah Achiti? So when David and Yoav Sartzva were fighting the Bnei Ammon, David saw Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and he sent for her to take her, and he was boel her, and she became pregnant from that bia. So after David, was informed that she was pregnant, so David summoned Uriah Hachiti back from the Milchama in order that he should be with his wife, and he'll never know that David is the one that impregnated her. Thing is, Uriah didn't want to go back to his house because it was a time of war, and he was an important soldier, and he said, I don't want to return from the battle. Field. So David sent Yoav, his general, to send for Uriah to the front lines, where he's for sure going to die. And Kachava, Uriah went to the front lines and he died. And then after they informed David that Uriah had died, David took Bathsheba as a wife. That story is in the Navi, right? So now, just like the Maisa Shahaya, where there was Kino Yastira, that's the only way a woman could become Asura to her husband. Says Mar Vitizbra, Maisa Shahaya, Bikino Yastira, Hava. Wait, are you reading a different Navi? In our Navi, he never has Uriah saying, David, I don't want you hanging out with that, Uriah telling Bathsheba, I don't want you hanging out with that David guy, and then her having Yichud in violation of that Kinui. Va'od, mi asrua. Plus, she never did become Asur to David. What happens at the end of the story? Uriah dies, she marries David, and she's Muteres to David. So what kind of statement is this? That the only way to Asur and Isha Labaila, other than having Eidus that she was Mizana, is with Kino Yostira, just like by Uriah and David and Bathsheba. What do you mean? First of all, the story of Uriah, David and Bathsheba, there was no Kino Yostira. Second of all, she didn't end up being Asur to him. So says Mar, obviously we're missing a line over here. So hello, Kasha. That's not what Rabbi Elazar meant to say. What Rabbi Elazar, it's not a kasha, because Hachi Kamer, this is what Rabbi Elazar really meant to say. Ein ish nesar sambayla ella al iske kino istira mimaisu shahaya Why Taka wasn't Bathsheba Asura to David? You know what the only answer must be, says Rabbi Lazar? It must be because there was no Kinui Astira. And if you have no Aidin that Bathsheba was with David when she was still married to Uriah, and you have no Kinui Astira, so she's not going to be Asura. And this makes Rabbi Lazar's point that a woman can only become Asura to her husband if you have either Aidin that she was Mezana, or you have a Kinui Astira, and you didn't have either one of those things with the Maisa of David and Bathsheba. So it says the Gemara about Mikol Makom Kasha. Okay, so now I at least understand what Rabbi Lazar was saying about David and Bathsheba. What he was saying was that they are the raya that the only way to Aser is through Kinui Astira, because they didn't have Kinui Astira and they were mutter. But we're back to our question now, which is that we have Astira in Rabbi Lazar. Because on the one hand, Rabbi Lazar said that a man says Pesach Pesach Matzasi, and he's Neman Leosra love. He's Neman to make her Asura to him. And on the other hand, Rabbi Lazar says, no, the only way a woman ever becomes Asura to her husband is if you have two Eidim, or you have Kinui Astira. Kinui Astira in Pesach Pesach Lo, only with real Kinui Astira, but the husband just claiming Pesach Pesach does not do the trick, does not make her Asura to him. So answers the Gemara, Ulitameich, according to what you're saying, we could be Medayik and ask on Rabbi Lazar that Kinui Astira in Eidim Lo? You know, Rabbi Lazar never said the word Eidim. I keep throwing in the word Eidim every time I say that the only way a woman could be Asura to her husband, I keep saying, is either with Eidim that she was Mizana or Kinui Astira. Rabbi Lazar never used the word Eidim. He just said Kinui Astira. So you want to make that diuk also? You want to say that Rabbi Lazar says that the only way a woman could become Asura to her husband is with Kinui Astira, and even Eidim that she was Mizana would not be good enough? So that's obviously ridiculous. There's no greater level of proof in Judaism than Eidim. Ella, so it must be that Rabbi Lazar does not mean to exclude Eidim. Eidim obviously would make her Asura to him as well, and therefore maybe Rabbi Lazar was not giving an exhaustive list. Maybe Kinui Astira, maybe Pesach Pesach also makes her Asura to him. So Hachi Kamar, here's what Rabbi Lazar was saying. Einish and Saras al-Baila be'eid echad, Ella Bishnei Eidim, that one aid would not be sufficient to make a woman Asura to her husband. You would normally need two Eidim. V'kinui Astira afilu be'eid echad nami, and Kinui Astira would not require two Eidim. Kinui Astira, if you have Kinui Astira as well, then even one aid that she cheated on her husband would be enough to Asur her, because there's Raglayim L'davar, u'Pesach Pesuach k'shnei Eidim, and if the husband claims Pesach Pesuach, that's as strong as having Shnei Eidim, as having two Eidim. So that's what Rabbi Lazar goes on to say. And if you're going to ask me, well, wait a second, why Taka didn't Bathsheba become Asura to David? L'chora, there were Eidim over there. The whole world knew that David had taken Bathsheba, that David was miyached with Bathsheba. So just like she became Asura to Uriah, she should have become Asur to David. So says Gemara, two possibilities. Number one is hard to stomach, but it says, Hasam Ones Hava, that maybe David was Baal Bathsheba against her will, that it was Baones, and therefore she did not become Asura to Uriah, because Uriah was not a Kohen. So if a woman is Nensa, a married woman is Nensa, she does not become Asura to her husband, and since she did not become Asura to Uriah, ironically, she does not become Asura to David. Which means, had David had an affair with Bathsheba, and she had been a willing participant in that, then she would have become Asura to David. But because David violated her, that he was ma'anis her, she does not become Asura to David. Because if she doesn't become Asura lebaila, she doesn't become Asura leboala either. That's the klal. The iser to the boel is because there's an iser lebal. Kashem shasur lebal, kach asur leboel. Now, the only thing is, this is very, very, again, very hard to stomach. What does that mean? David was ma'anes a woman? How's that possible? So the Chidah writes in the Sefer Chaim Sha'al, Chilik Aleph, Sim Pehei, that it doesn't mean that it was mamish against her will. It's just that since Bathsheba was a katana at that time, she was very, very young, it's considered ones, because pitu katana onesu. Pitu katana is considered an ones, which makes it sit, I guess, a little bit better, but still not super comfortable with, so it's good the Gemara has another answer. The other answer the Gemara has is that, you know why Bathsheba was mutaris to David and she was not Asura based on the fact that she had cheated on her husband? It's like what Rosh Ben Nachmani Amar Yonasan taught us, which is that anyone who went out to fight any of the wars of the Beis David would always write a get to his wife. This get, Rashi understands, was a get al Tanai, that if he dies during the war or he's held captive and he doesn't return, then the get should be chal from the time that it is written, and the woman becomes muteres to marry somebody else. And how do I know that get krisos? That's the way Rashi understands. Tosfos understands it differently. Tosfos says that it can't be that the Tanai was dafka if he dies, because the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin that someone who says Hareze Gitech Me'ayom Imati, that if the get should be chal from today if I die, the get is going to be chal Shah Achas Kodem Isaso. So it turns out that at the time that David was boiled her, she was still an Eshes Ish. So that's why Tosfos explains what Rashi means. The Tanai is not if he dies, but if he doesn't return from Melchama, because of whatever reason, whether it be Miso, whether it be Shevi, whether it be because he's killed, or whether it be because he's held captive, that either way he's and others understand. Tosfos raises another possibility that there was no Tanai at all in the get, that it was a get gomor. It's just that they would do it bitzina, they would keep the get a secret. That's the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, that they would write a get with no Tanai, and the woman was mugureshes, fully mugureshes from the time the get was written. And the only thing is, the deal was that if the husband made it back from Melchama, he would remarry her, right? That was the understanding. They had an understanding between them that they'd get remarried if he come back from Melchama. So why do we call it then? Chazal referred to this as a Suffolk Eishes Ish. She's not a Suffolk Eishes Ish. She's not an Eishes Ish at all. She's totally divorced. So they refer to it as a Suffolk Eishes Ish because Klape, the world, she's a Suffolk Eishes Ish, meaning the world doesn't know that they got divorced. They didn't publicize this divorce, and therefore she's considered like a Suffolk Eishes Ish, even though she's not an Eishes Ish at all. That is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. But anyway, there was something. There was something about a get, whether it be a get al Tanai, like Rashi says, or whether it be like Rabbeinu Tam, that it was a get gomor. There was some sort of get that had to be given before going out to war. Where do I know that? From Tchsiv, because the Pasuk says about the Melchama of Shaul against Goliath, that when Yishai sent David to go see how his big brothers were doing in the Melchama, so Yishai tells David, Ve'esachecho tivkol d'shalom, make sure your brothers are okay, Ve'es arubasom tikach, and take their arubasam. So my ves arubasam tikach. Tanir Rav Yosef Tvar Mamur Rav and Ben Elvena, that when Yishai told David to arubasam tikach, he meant to take a get from his brothers for their wives. And through by taking a get krisos for their wives, it turns out that it's going to be that they will no longer be married. So it must be that David learned this lesson from Yishai, his father, that this is something to do. Meaning Yishai apparently did this on a private level. It wasn't something that the whole army was doing. It was just something that he sent David to do, to get a get, to receive a get from all three of his brothers on behalf of his sisters-in-law. But David saw that that was a proper hanhaga. And therefore, when David was in charge, when they put David in charge, when he became melech, and he got to make the decisions, so then David institutionalized that. And therefore, we have this phrase, Kol Yotzei L'Melchama Beis David. Anyone who went out to the wars of David would write a get l'ishto. And therefore, when David was with Bathsheba, she was not an Eishes Ish. So now the Gemara brings a raya that Rabbi Elazar is correct. That again, all we learn is one statement of Rabbi Elazar. We've just been questioning it. The one statement of Rabbi Elazar is that if he says Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, he is neman to make a rasura to him. We do not say you're a kid, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't know what Pesach Pesuach feels like. So Amar Abai Afanana Mitanina, we have a raya to Rabbi Elazar that a husband is believed to say Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, and it's from the very first mission in this Masechta. Besula Nisayis Yom Arvi, the first line in the Masechta said that a Besula gets married on Wednesday, and we said the reason is because Beis Din convenes on Mondays and Thursdays, so the Yom Ravi and the Yom Chamishi Lo, she can get married on Wednesday, but not on Thursday. My time, why can't she get married on Thursday? If I'll have a time as Basulim, why can't you just go to Beis Din the following Monday? So Mishum Kriya Daita, because we're Choshesh, that maybe by the time Monday comes around, he will have calmed down, and he's not going to be so upset anymore about the fact that he didn't find Basulim, so no one's going to come to be made that she was not a Basula. So why are Chacham worried that he's going to calm down and they'll make shalom? Isn't that a win? Aren't we happy about that? Meaning if the husband stops being upset and they somehow manage to rediscover their shalom bayis, that's why everyone goes so happy. So Ilam Esav L'Ksuba, if the chashash is L'Gabe L'Ksuba, that if he doesn't find a Besulim, he really shouldn't be obligated to pay her Ksuba, but now, because he's calming down, he's going to end up paying a Ksuba that he wouldn't really have had to pay, Who cares? Nesedla, if he's calm about it and he's okay with it, so let him be malcha, let him pay the ksuba. There's nothing wrong with that. If I want to give you 200 zuz, I'll give you 200 zuz. Nothing terrible is going to come from that. Ella must be that the shash is the osra alav, that really she's asura to him. And if he were to come and say Pesach Pasuach and actually make it to Beis Din and not come down and tell Beis Din what he experienced, she would become asura to him. So we don't want him to neglect to come to Beis Din, because time will pass and he'll calm down and she'll talk to him, and then he's going to stay living with this woman that's asura to him. The assumption is he's going to come to Beis Din and he's going to come with some sort of taina. So what is the taina that he's going to be coming to Beis Din with? So the assumption is that the taina he's coming to Beis Din with, what is the taina? My love, isn't it a taina Pesach Pesuach that he's coming to Beis Din with? And that's why they said you better get married on Wednesday so that you can come make that taina Pesach Pesuach. So you see, the assumption of our whole Mishnah is that if he says Pesach Pesuach, he's ne'aman li osra alav. So it says, you misunderstood the Mishnah. It could be to katan times dummy, that the assumption is that he's not only going to have a tainus pesach pesuach in Beis Din, he'll have a tainus dummy, that he didn't find any dam besulim in the first bia. That everyone is an expert in. Meaning it could be that Rabbi Lazar is not correct. That if a guy comes and says pesach pesuach matzasi, we say you're a kid, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't know what a pesach pesuach is. But if he comes and he says I had bia and there was no blood, so that he knows, right? That you don't need expertise to realize that there was no blood. So maybe that he would be believed. So that's why he's neman until they were there, and to the point that they had to make a gzeira to get married on Wednesday and not on Thursday. So that is, that closes Shitas Rabbi Lazar, right? Meaning we have Shitas Rabbi Lazar that if a guy says Pesach Pesuach Matzasi neman liosra alav, but he's not neman lafsidak subasa. So now says the Gemara, there is a second opinion. That if a man gets married to a woman and she's supposed to be a basula, and after the first bia he comes and he says Pesach Pesuach, and she is not a basula, and she denies it, she says, I don't know what you're talking about, I never had bia with anybody else, he is neman to make her lose her ksuba, even though there are no edim, because we have a chazaka that a person would not be tarech besudas nisuin and then come with a false claim to, and then he'd lose the you know, he just spent exorbitant sums of money on making a chasana, so he wouldn't just throw them in the toilet the next day. He wouldn't just say, oh, that was all a waste of time, and the next day throw the marriage out. So it's, a person wouldn't do that with a tainas sheker. So it's a raya that his taina must be MS, and therefore he can cost her ksuba. So says Maram Rav Yosef, my kamashman, what is Shmuel teaching me by this? Tanina, we already know this as well from a Mishnah we haven't had yet, but we'll have in a few days, that the minag of the Bnei Eretz Yehuda was that at the time of the Suzas Eris in the house of the Kala, the guy and the girl, the Chasn and Kala, would have yichud together in order to create a sense of being comfortable with each other. And the Mishnah says, Ha'ochal Eitzel Chamiv Bi Yehuda, if a person eats by his father-in-law in Eretz Yehuda at the Suzas Eris, and he has yichud with her, Shalo Be'edim, not with Edim, he loses the right to claim a tainus besulim, that he didn't find besulim, because he had yichud with her. So if he comes and he says after the nisuin she wasn't a besula, we say shkayach, because it's probably, you're probably the reason she wasn't a besula. You had yichud with her. We assume that you must be the reason that she's not a besula. So he can't come with a claim that she's not a besula. But it sounds like that's only Bi Yehuda, where he had yichud with her. Bi Yehuda udlo matzita. But if they were living in a place where the minhag was that they would not have yichud together, then he would be allowed to come with the tainas besulim. So says Gemara, well, what exactly is the goal of that tainas besulim? What's he trying to accomplish when he comes with the tainas besulim? Lamai, what's he claiming? Ela osra lav, if he's trying to make her asura to him, Yehuda my lo, he should be allowed to do that wherever he is. That's not just in the Galil, even in Yehuda, he should be believed to make her asura to him, because after all, there is a principle, Shavya nafshei chaticha di surah, that should apply in Yehuda as well. So since he's coming with a clear claim that he was not boel her, and that he found Pesach Pasuach, so lefid varav, she's asura to him. Elalav, it must be that the din the Mishnah is coming to distinguish between Yehuda and Galil is the Afsidu Ksubasa, is that the husband is coming and he's trying to cost her Ksuba with the Katan and Taina, and he married her that Becheska she's a Besula, and after he was boiled her, he found that she was not a Besula, and it's a Mekach Taus, and he's trying to divorce her without having to pay a Ksuba. So my love, the Katan Taina is Pesach Besuach, so isn't this that he's coming with the Taina of Pesach Besuach, and we believe him even to make her lose her ksuba without edim, and there's no chashash. We're not choshish that he's lying. Rashi writes again. The svara is because we assume that a person would not be tarech b'seuda umafsida, but in Yehuda, Rashi writes he would not be neeman to make her lose her ksuba because we assume that he was the one that was boiled her. What about the fact that he would never make her lose, he would never throw away the money that he just spent on the Suda? Maybe he forgot what he had done. Maybe he had just done a tchilas bia and he didn't think he had really done any damage. You know, when Yehuda, there's just too much that could have happened when they were biyichud. So therefore, we don't give him that ne'amanus in Yehuda. But in Galil, we do give him that ne'amanus. So isn't this a raya that if a husband comes and says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, that we're going to believe him, according to Shmuel, even to make her lose her ksuba? Because that must be what the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis is about. So says Gemara, lo, no, the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis is not about coming with the Taina of Pesach Pesuach. The Katan, Taina's Damim, Mishnah, Daf Yud Beis is talking about a case where he didn't find Dam B'Salum when he had Bia with her, and there were Shushvinim that looked and they didn't see Dam at the time of the Bia, and therefore he's Neman to be Mafsar Ksuba if he lives in Galil, because there were Eidim that she was not a Besula, meaning they as Rashi understands, that there were Eidim that saw the sheets and she was not a Besula. Tosfos says that it's Dafka B'tayinus Pesach Pesuach, there's a Chashash that he's not a Baki B'davar, and therefore he's not Nemelav Sidak Subasa. But a Tainus Damim, where it's a Taina Berura, that he didn't see any Dam, he's Neman even without Eidim, right? Tosfos thinks it's unnecessary to introduce Eidim into the picture over here. If he comes with a Taina that I didn't see Dam, you don't need Eidim that there was no Dam. He says, I didn't see Dam, and we trust that he's expert enough to know what Dam looks like, to say that there's no Dam. But in Yehuda, he's not believed because we assume that he must have been boiled her at the time that they had Yichud, at the time of Erusin. But if someone were to come with the time of Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, maybe he's not going to be believed to be Mafsir Ksuba, because Pesach Pesuach Matzasi is not something that he has expertise in. So Shmuel is being Mechadesh that even with the time of Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, he's able to be Mafsir Ksuba because Chazaka in Adam Terech Pesuda Umafsida. So again, Shmuel had said the statement that a guy comes with a taina of Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, he can even make her lose her ksuba. So the Gemara's question on that was, obviously, it's already Tanino. We already learned that in the Mishnah and Daf Yud Beis. So Gemara says, no, the Mishnah and Daf Yud Beis didn't go that far. The Mishnah and Daf Yud Beis only told me that if he comes with the Tainas Damim, he can make her lose her Ksuba. Shmuel is adding to that. Shmuel is building on that and saying that even if it's not a Tainas Damim, even if he's coming with a Taina of Pesach Pesuach, which is something that ostensibly he has no expertise on, that even then he'd be able to make her lose her ksuba. So that's so again, to quickly summarize what we did in today's daf, basically two shitas. We have Rabbi Elazar Rabban Aleph, and we have Shmuel Amin Beis. Rabbi Elazar Rabban Aleph said that if a man comes with the taina of Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, he's not neman to make her lose her ksuba, but Shabi Anafshi Chatich Di Yisura, he's neman at least to make her asura to him. The Gemara thinks, Tanino, we already know that. And the Gemara says, no, we did not already know that, because from any earlier sources that a husband is Shavya Nafshi Chatich Di Yisura, it was about something that he would for sure know about, like Kiddashtich. Over here, it's something that he would not automatically for sure know about. And then when the Gemara introduces Shmuel's Chiddush, that if a guy says Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, he's even neman to make her lose her ksuba, the Gemara says, on that also Tanino, we already know that he's allowed to make her lose her ksuba. And the Gemara's answer is, no, we don't already know that. We only know that when he comes with the Tainas Damim, he's neman lafsid ksubasa, because everybody's an expert on whether there's Dam or not. But how do I know that even with a Taina of Pesach Pesuach, that's where I needed Shmuel to come to be Mechadish? Okay, we'll stop there. And from tomorrow there won't be a Shir. Tomorrow, the next daf is Shabbos's daf. So I will give a shir in Shul, that's right, in the basic class of North Woodbury, on Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos's daf. And the next daf I'll give on the Zoom and the recording, I guess, will be on Sunday afternoon. I'll be giving Monday's daf. So the next daf will be Monday's daf. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day, wonderful Shabbos.